Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock cause I'm driving the Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Moolah Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like a young couple Blair, huh? Best podcast, flexed in the air, huh? Bummer rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw them up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock cause I'm driving the Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling Wrap Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth, and with me, as always, my co-host, Matt Scott. Matt, how's it going?
You know what? I will say it wasn't going that well this week. Has been a lot. But you know what? That our theme song always puts me in a good mood. So I'm just it really happy to be here and happy that we could be having this episode with the conversations we're going to be having, because there's a lot to dive into. And we're not alone. We are not alone today.
No, we're not. So we have one of my close personal friends, a screenwriter, actor. You may have seen him on Station 19, or you may have seen him in your favorite ID Discovery show, Mr. Havan Baraka. Havan, how's it going?
Thank you for having me, Mari. This really is a pleasure. No, I genuinely feel like it's an honor. It's going pretty well.
Yeah. Wow. Are you also a voice actor on top of everything else? That you're smooth like butter. Come on. These people are going to want you back just for your voice. They're going to get rid of me and Mari, and you can do the show for us.
I do voice acting as well. No, it's funny because like the last audition I just did, it was like for this infomercial spot. They were like, "Do you do voiceover?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, I do it from time." They're like, "Can you do voiceover for us?" And I was like, "Yes, I can. I would like a job."
Yeah, that's for a price.
So Havan is one of me and my husband's oldest friends, diehard wrestling fan. At one point, it would have been us on a wrestling podcast a few years ago. We had actually had
actually being replaced.
Yeah.
It was my schedule was like just way too hectic, and I would not have been reliable, and I just wouldn't want to do that to James and Mari.
Yeah. But also, like we said, he's a great writer. So we all grew up kind of just writing our own storylines amongst ourselves. Yeah. But other than that, hold on, can you tell the people, can you introduce yourself to our listeners and your wrestling history and you know, all everything that you want us to want to tell them about your wrestling background and knowledge?
So when I first saw wrestling, I was about 2 or 3. I want to say I was 3 years old. I was walking straight up into the living room and I saw my brother. He was watching WrestleMania 7. And he was watching Macho Man versus Ultimate Warrior. I didn't know. I had no context. I know what was going on, but I was like, I love this. And I just kept going that way. And back then, there was no Raw or SmackDown. It was like Raw's in April, SmackDown's in July. it's the equivalence of those. It was like Wrestling Classic and Superstars. Anyway, so I just kept watching. I was watching faithfully. And it's ironic. When Shawn Michaels, at the time when I was young, he was first it was Macho Man, then it was Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels, when he retired in 1998, I stopped watching. So I missed all of the Attitude Era, arguably like the greatest time to be a wrestling fan. And then when he came back when it was done during the Ruthless Aggression era. And I started watching again. But so I had to do a lot of catch up, like, you know, through YouTube. Thank God for YouTube. on like promos and matches and the Attitude Era and stuff like that. But I started watching when Shawn Michaels came back, and I watched it with a different lens. I watched it with a writer's lens after that, which is like what Mari was talking about with her and, you know, James. And so this is probably one of my favorite accomplishments. I earned so many brownie points with Mari and James about this. I had won this contest or whatever like that for cricket. And I actually got to meet Sasha Banks and Sheamus. That was like one of my favorite achievements. And so of course, like, you know, we take pictures with them, we take a video, and I was like, hey, can you say like say hi to James and Martin? She was like, yeah, sure. And she was so nice. I made her laugh. That's all I needed. Made her laugh. I still have the photos. I still have the videos with her and Sheamus. They were both really, really nice. And I also got to meet The Undertaker. Such a random experience. That's more random than anything like that, but Sasha won. Because Sasha's my favorite female wrestler, but... Yeah. Oh, yeah, what were you about to say, Matt? I'm sorry.
No. There's a lot of connections to the podcast. Sheamus he replied to our tweet.
Yeah.
One time. Obviously, we love Sasha. But and then, you know, Chappelle, one of our prolific guests, did see The Undertaker at Walmart once. So
right.
Did he say anything to him?
Look, you can't...
That's such a weird visual. Like, is that the Undertaker buying bleach? Like what?
Right. He was buying like fruit snacks or something.
Exactly.
Probably. I don't remember what, or Doritos. I can't remember what Chappelle was talking about. But yeah, no, it's good to hear about your fandom too. And it's interesting because for me, growing up as a wrestling fan, which totally affects how I look at the shows today. Like, I always feel like I was watching with like the wink and a nod of like, okay, I understand what this is. Like, I also was so obsessed with like writing in notebooks and coming up with storylines, and like, you know, I think that wrestling draws that creativity out of people sometimes, but also like I think a lot of it probably will relate to our conversation today, because, you know, we're all people who've really cared, not just about what we're seeing on the screen, but like what's going on behind the scenes, how it all works together. And I'm just glad that we could talk about it. Also, I don't think we've said Sasha and Naomi yet, but people are like,
because we're about to say it for another hour.
So, if you don't like them, you should probably not listen to this episode.
Yeah. Maybe this isn't your part of the show.
Yeah.
So, we're going to do things a little different today. Like, we're in a little bit of a somber mood. And this week, the headlines, wrestling, Twitter, wrestling news have just been dominated by what's been going on with Sasha and Naomi over the week. I wish we had you on here on one of our happier weeks, but this is right up your alley. A little bit of shoot yelling about what the heck is going on in the WWE, I think.
Ooh, we love it.
But we're going to just address the Sasha Naomi situation. We're going to go through as thoroughly of a timeline as we can from what we heard from other wrestling journalists. We're definitely going to give props to Sean Ross Sapp over at Fightful. Shout out to mostly him. Honestly, he really, him and Fightful, they broke this story like wide open. So any other sources that we have for the story, we will put in the show descriptions and show notes to make sure that we are properly credited. We properly credit them, because we are not wrestling journalists. Newsflash. This is entertainment. This is our opinion. So everything that we are getting, we're getting from news sources. So we're going to try and make sure that we give everybody the proper credit. But
yeah
there will be no highlights of the week, y'all. There's no highlights.
There will not.
There's
be.
No wrestling.
Sorry,
highlights.
No
week.
Highlights. If you think we're going to talk about insert highlight here. I think a lot of people know us well enough to know that this week's episode would be different, especially just considering last week's episode. And check out Wrestling Rehab up Twitter if you want to see a couple of the highlights that Mari pulled and posted, where we were talking about Sasha and Naomi and Ember Moon, or aka Athena, and just Black women in wrestling last week before this all happened.
Literally, so, before all of this happened.
Wild. But I just also want wanted to say, in addition to obviously the wrestling journalism and all the, you know, all the stuff that we'll be talking about, we also just, well, maybe just to kind of start with like one reason I'm happy to do this podcast and love to do it is like we have a great time, me and Mari, doing this all the time, fun and shenanigans, all of the things, but also like we are also here for these important conversations. And, you know, each of us brings not only, and all of us really, even including you, like we all bring our experiences in life and our identities too, you know, as Black people, but also just like as people who care about these issues and have like some knowledge of like professionalism and unprofessionalism and white supremacy culture and all these other things. So I'm really excited to dive in, even though this isn't the best topic, just because I feel like this is like why our voices matter in these conversations, because not enough people are talking about this in the way that I think needs to be talked about.
Yeah, I completely agree. So let's kind of start it off, because like I say on this podcast all the time, I don't watch Raw Live. Who watches Raw Live? Who wants to sit through 3 hours of a lot of fluff? Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's
going to watch this all day, every day. Damn it.
I fast forward through the commercials, and I am not ashamed to fast forward through some of the men's matches, because we all know I'm not there for them. So when this like first happened, I was like, wait, what's going on? So we kind of get it. The beginning of the story is very murky in a sense. Like we get that apparently Sasha, Naomi, Doudrop, Nikki, Becky, and Asuka were announced to be in a 6-pack challenge that night in the main event. The person who wins is the number one contender for Bianca Belair's belt at Hell in a Cell, right? None of that makes sense. But anyways, that's what happens. But then shortly afterwards, we start hearing rumblings, mostly from Fightful. Like I said, Sean Ross Sapp was definitely breaking the backstage news as it was happening, that Sasha and Naomi had left. And, you know, there was some disagreements over what was going to happen that night, and they have left the arena. So then we get that the segment from Becky and Adam Pearce, where Becky like basically says they walked out, they left, like just give me the, you know, the contendership. And then it gets turned into Becky versus Asuka in the main event. Winner goes on to face Bianca at Hell in a Cell, which before we get into it, like why wasn't that the original plan? Like truly, why wasn't that the original plan?
Yeah.
Like I thought that's where we were going this whole entire time. So what we end up hearing made no sense. Like,
yeah.
Like,
but I mean, like, that's the thing. We never have a direction. There's not a direction, or there's not, you know, rarely we talk about long-term storytelling, and rarely that is there because things change. I mean, even, you know, to give an example, it doesn't have to be a Naomi example, but the Naomi example of the Naomi Sonya feud, where we're like, oh, this is beautiful long-term storytelling. It's headed to a match at Mania.
Nothing.
Saw what happened with that. So, you know, like the plans are constantly changing. This whole story is a great example of how plans are constantly changing. So, I mean, we didn't know.
Yeah, what they were doing. Exactly. Because the 6-pack challenge was not announced previously before the broadcast happened. It's not like they announced it SmackDown the following week or the, you know, the week before. This was literally like it. They announced it at the top of the show, which we'll talk about that a little bit later.
And by the way, Sean Ross Sapp posted about 30 minutes before the show went live with mention that this is what the run sheet or whatever is looking like. This is what the match is going to be. So he did mention the 6-pack challenge 30 minutes before, but obviously it's a lot more convoluted of what the actual plan was, which we will talk about, of course.
Right. So during the broadcast, we got comments from Corey Graves, who then proceeded to get rightfully dragged for the rest of the week. Havan, what did you think about Corey Graves calling Sasha and Naomi unprofessional live on air with a lot of glee in his voice?
Yeah, I think we've discussed this. I never really liked Corey Graves. Like, I don't like his commentating style. It's too distracting. Exactly. It's just very much, I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? It's very much like, it's very hammy. It's like, we get it. You don't like this person. Like, can we talk about the match? Like, oftentimes I would see his partner trying to reel him back into the match that we're actually watching. And I'm just like, dude, just like, I'm over you. Like, he was by far one of my least favorite things to listen to.
Exactly. It's almost like him trying to put himself over on the announce desk. Like, sir,
yeah,
like the constant bickering. Nobody wants to hear you fight at the, like,
or talk about match. Like, yeah, and I'm not going to even, like, dive into all the other, you know, like, other things that are annoying about him, like, about every, you know, all of his Carmella comments, which is, like, why, no, this is not about you, and but at all. But, like, the thing that that really jumped out to me there is that I really feel like that started the wave of people calling Sasha and Naomi unprofessional and talking about their unprofessionalism, and WWE loves to bring up how unprofessional they are, but Corey Graves kind of kicked that off. Obviously, you know, we know commentators have Vince McMahon in their ears, so it, you know, the words came out of his mouth, but you know, probably from Vince McMahon's brain or something like that. So
yeah,
either way, don't love it.
Did anybody say anything about Charlotte back in November about unprofessionalism or anything like that?
No,
nah, I bet nobody said anything about that.
I remember us going into that next podcast, like, what the f- happened? Like, watching that segment with her and Becky and being like, something's not right here. And it took like a few days for it to unravel everything that like happened. And
but
it's just very interesting, the handling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they still talk about her, just like, oh, but she's this, she's that, she's that. Mm-hmm. It's all these great Charlotte promos, but you know, Sasha and Naomi to us justifiably, like, finally, like, are like, all right, we've had enough unprofessionalism.
Yeah.
and the other piece though, and you know, I feel like it's so early in the podcast, you know, like with a wrestling match, for instance, you want like the arc, you need to like build, and then there's just to get to it, like for me, that's one of the things that just jumps out the most in how everybody is talking about this, because one, nobody's talking about how unprofessional it is for WWE to air out the business of their employees. Like, if any, I mean, and I will say this because I've tweeted this at a few people, that I don't think it's right for us to necessarily apply standards of professionalism to WWE and its performers, because WWE is this wild world where, like, the way that what's professional in any of our work, really, maybe Havan, like, you're the closest, but like, really, like, in any of our work is not at all, that does not apply in WWE. And it bothers me because everyone is so focused on Sasha and Naomi are so unprofessional, really taking shots at Sasha, especially. They love that. But, you know, not bringing up how WWE continues to just irresponsibly drag these two black women and really put a target on their backs by calling them unprofessional and discrediting them. But I'm ready. Well, I'm ready for us to hear from them, you know, sooner or later about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Come on, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, please.
Oh no. I mean, you pretty much summed it up. It's like I was saying, like you said, if Vince McMahon was like manager at a McDonald's, he wouldn't be able to do half the things that he does. That clown would have been like, "What are you doing?" Like,
exactly that.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Then we get WWE releasing a statement. And let me just make sure I have the correct timing on this. Because it is during the broadcast. Yeah, it was before the main event. It was released at 10:30. WWE, I'm about to read the statement verbatim. Oh, and but before I get into this, remember, hopefully you're watching us on YouTube. We have the statement pulled up here. You can go to Rob has a podcast YouTube page and then look up Wrestling Rehab if you can find us there. Mm-hmm. Or if you still need to subscribe, why haven't you subscribed yet? Go to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed in order to subscribe mm-hmm. wherever you listen to your podcast. But so here we have the statement from WWE that was released during the show that a lot of people were like, that don't make sense, myself included. So the statement reads, when Sasha Banks and Naomi arrived at the arena this afternoon, they were informed of their participation in the main event of tonight's Monday Night Raw. During the broadcast, they walked into WWE head of talent relations, John Laurinaitis, which also, like, fuck that guy. Like, why is he still there?
Oh, my God. When I heard this, I was like, who let him back in? Like,
right. talent relations office with their suitcases in hand, placed their tag team championship belts on his desk and walked out. They claimed they weren't respected enough as tag team champions. And even though they had 8 hours to rehearse and construct their match, they claimed they were uncomfortable in the ring with two of their opponents, even though they had matches with those individuals in the past with no consequence. Monday Night Raw is a scripted live TV show whose characters are expected to perform the requirements of their contract. We regret we were unable to deliver as advertised tonight's main event. That so we're about to.
We're going to.
Oh, we're going to get
so much here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
There's so much here. How do we even break this down? Because
let's just kind of go paragraph by paragraph. Havad, Laurinaitis, what is going on?
First off, I know I'm a Jim Ross guy. And one thing that he has stated before is, like, to be in talent relations, you should be considering your talent. So him, though, John Laurinaitis in that position, once I found that out, I was like, dog, it's not even like he was going to have their backs. Mm-hmm. Like, even if they, like, I'm pretty sure, like, there was minimum effort on his end. Even if they did discuss with him, like, hey, we're not comfortable with this. We don't like this. We disagree with this. He's a yes man at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's. I've never been a Laurinaitis fan, so it's, yeah.
And from all intents and purposes, it might seem like he might have been the main antagonist here, from what we learn later, but, you know, we'll talk about that.
But even, let's say that we don't know that for a fact. What this says to me, if I'm just reading this in the moment, is that John Laurinaitis' relationships with Sasha and Naomi, or, you know, his relationships with talent more broadly are lacking in some kind of way, because he's, as you kind of were pointing to, you know, the Jim Ross thing, like he's not succeeding at having relationships
with the talent.
But yeah, no, it's and it's like, okay, so John Laurinaitis is somehow not able to do the job of being able to work with and communicate with the talent. That's something I'm taking away from that paragraph. I know that's not what they were intending, but I mean, there's you could see a world where there are not only other people in the role, but someone who's more effective. Even John Laurinaitis, Johnny Ace, is more effective, and the situation could have been navigated differently, but I digress. Agreed. I'm just saying, taking it apart paragraph by paragraph, that's something that kind of deserves attention. That,
so this third paragraph,
oh my God,
sounded like complete
yes
bullshit.
So even if it was true, it's gossip.
But even the phrasing, they claimed they weren't respected enough as tag team champions is loaded statement. But it's a loaded statement because it's saying, you know, they claimed they weren't respected enough, which, like, are you implying that they are respected enough as tag team champions? Could we acknowledge that there are ways that they are not respected enough? Again, I also would say, especially as Black women in any space, but that's just an interesting line to me, that it's almost saying they think they're not respected.
I think this whole, like, they claimed they were uncomfortable in the ring with two of their opponents.
Exactly.
Sasha freaking Banks, uncomfortable in the ring with an opponent. That girl has wrestled everybody and can wrestle anybody.
Yes.
Sasha would not do that. I cannot imagine. I don't know Sasha Banks personally, but I cannot imagine Sasha, like, downing her coworkers like that.
I genuinely think this was to stir the pot. It just felt like that.
Yeah. But let's even say that they were uncomfortable with their opponents. Like, the thing that, and what did they say here? They claimed they were uncomfortable in the ring with two of their opponents, even though they'd had matches with those individuals in the past. Does that mean that just because you've been in the ring with people before that you're going to always be comfortable with them? Maybe, like, there's so much there that they're kind of trying to say they've been in the ring with them. So why do they have a problem with that? But, I feel like I've brought this up on, like, podcasts more and more, but to me, my mind goes to, like, consent of things, where it's like, just because you give consent for something once doesn't mean you automatically are giving it in the future. Agreed. So it's just like the implication that they should be okay with getting in the ring and harming their bodies and putting their lives on the line for kind of, you know, poor creative and everything else. It doesn't make sense. They're allowed to change their minds, but step back.
Even them saying they claim they weren't respected enough as tag team champions, that still says, like, any concerns that Sasha and Naomi had, it's just falling on deaf ears. It's like, you still didn't, you're not even entertaining the thought, like, okay, maybe we're bugging.
Let's be real here. This paragraph initially buries Doudrop and Nikki. It has to be. Everybody was speculating when this statement came out. They're not talking about Asuka and Becky. There's no way that Naomi and Sasha are talking about they feel uncomfortable wrestling with Asuka and Becky. So the process of elimination. So you're trying to tell us that Naomi and Sasha are saying that they didn't feel comfortable with Nikki and Doudrop in the ring. And that, when I first heard that, that was where I was just like, there's no way. Like, there's just completely no way. Only because Nikki and Doudrop have been in the business. You said it last week,
all
Matt.
Of them.
Nikki,
yeah.
Nikki Doudrop has been in the business for like 15 years.
Yeah.
So has Nikki. And there hasn't been problems before. So that's why I feel like I agree with the consent thing you said, Matt, but I think this was completely made up, like Havon said, just to stir the pot. And that's when everybody was like, something stinks. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's just like, it's like, whatever it is, it stinks. Like, no matter how you break it down, you're wrong for being against him in this.
He's just so reactive. And it's just like, even if, like, let's just say cooler heads could have prevailed, because it's like, now it's like, this does not give Sasha or Naomi incentive to even, like, really hear you out. It's like, okay, this is what you're doing. Like, we're trying to explain to you how we feel. Okay, you're not listening to us. You trap us, as we mentioned before, like, you know how the situation goes. Now you're saying this. Now you're borderline lying or gossiping. It's like, but then you have but then you feel you have the right to call us unprofessional.
Yeah,
and publicly. Twice, right? Because this is a Michael Cole. He was like, they let us down. I was like, they let you down, Michael? Like,
Michael Cole.
We'll talk about that on SmackDown.
Don't speak for us, but we will get there. Yes.
Yes. But also, they also released this during the broadcast. So when, again, it was another thing where people were like, it sounds like they're trying to get their narrative out there as soon as possible as well. That was another fishy thing, because this had not happened before. We'll talk about the Stone Cold Steve Austin comparisons in a minute, but this is, they don't normally do this. If something happens backstage, like we said, between Charlotte and Becky, or with Tony walking out, none of this is ever thing. ever done. And then in this fourth paragraph here, they break kayfabe completely and say Monday Night Raw is a scripted live TV show whose characters are expected to perform the requirements of their contract. They really, I mean, WWE been broke kayfabe. They had to in like the trials and all that, but like they literally just undercut their whole kind of like selling model to bury these black women. And it is jarring to see.
Yeah. But the other piece of it too, even with that, like that sentence almost doesn't make any sense to me, because they're talking about how the characters are expected to perform the requirements of their contract. No, well, if we're gonna say that, what we should be saying is that these people are expected to perform the requirements of their contract. And again, to break it down, it's ridiculous that they put this out publicly, because we don't know the working, like we don't work at WWE. We don't work with their work culture. We don't know what that's like. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this, it's just wild though, that they refer to them as characters here after everything else. When, I mean, I would assume that they would just call them performers, but
that's what I figured.
Yeah.
Very. Yeah.
I think
very
it's minimizing different. I don't know if it's if it was super intentional, but it kind of minimizes their humanity too, to be like they're characters. They are not people. Mm-hmm. They're not employees or independent contractors. They're characters, which
these contracts can be broken at any moment on their side. Yes. Like during a pandemic where they let go 80 plus people over the course of 2 years. But yeah. Who's unprofessional here? So you can take this down here, Matt.
Budget cuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's buying a gold car.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. So that was the statement released during the broadcast. Asuka did go on to beat Becky using the green mist. Love a good green mist. To face Bianca at Hell in a Cell, which again, why wasn't this the creative? This doesn't make sense. Yeah. And then of course we got like a flood of fan reactions. You got your typical, you know, oh, they are unprofessional. A lot of fans like me, especially black women fans, were pointing out that this is very race. This feels racial because you've never done this for we've had spats and we've heard about backstage misbehavior for decades now. And the last time that anything like this had even come close to this was the Stone Cold Steve Austin walkout. I know some people were thinking it was maybe a work. I never thought it was a work, only because like Havon said, that statement put a target on those women's back. They immediately got a flood of hate. Of course, you know, a lot of us try to counter it with love, but they immediately got a flood of hate. They always get the like, oh, Sasha Banks is a diva. She walks out on everything. Yeah. The old stuff is brought up, even the old stuff that was discontinued. I mean, that was discounted, like that whole her and Bayley crying on the floor after WrestleMania, which never happened.
They jumped to that. They jumped to that
which was, again, it never happened. It's been proven that it never happened, but people they jumped immediately to that. And it was horrendous. I think I tweeted on like either I think it was like Wednesday when I was like, I can't deal with wrestling Twitter today, because when you're as a black woman, when you're seeing all these attacks against black women and people saying, oh, it's not racist. I straight up saw a meme with people comparing Naomi to a monkey. So don't fucking tell me it's not racist.
Remember SummerSlam? Remember when we went to SummerSlam and we overheard. So we're watching the Sasha Banks Alexa Bliss fight. And as like, you know, Sasha's coming to the match, like people are booing Sasha. And I'm like, this is wild. And then somebody near us was like, she's so ratchet. I was like, what?
Yeah. Going back to NXT, Sasha's ratchet. That was the whole thing. And they kept going and going and going with that. And it like,
so, don't come up under my mentions or other black women's mentions saying that this is not racial. It is. We're seeing the post. If you're not seeing the post, you're lying to yourself, because they're everywhere. And as people, as black women, you know, as black people, but you know, I'm talking from my experience.
Sure.
Like, I can't keep internalizing that, because when you're scrolling through your Twitter, I'm glad that my wrestling Twitter is pretty well curated, you know, enough. It truly is. However, there's stuff that sinks through. There's also like all of those women that I follow quote tweeting dumb stuff and giving them the business, you know? Mm-hmm. So we are being affected by this too. You know what I'm saying? Like, people will say it's not that big of a deal. It is. Like, you don't want to see somebody who is just like you being constantly attacked because you're catching strays too. You know what I'm saying? We're catching strays. You're talking about Black women as a whole. And it was very frustrating. And it was all week. Like, Sasha and Naomi trended all week. I'm sorry. Havon, did you have something you wanted to?
No, I'm just agreeing with you. I mean, like you've mentioned before, I mean, me and you, we've run it down before. I mean,
yeah,
because I've been saying, like, you know, this was a long time coming. You know, just because I said, like, I mean, Mari can even admit, like with me and her first happened, I said, I was like, yo, do you think this is real? I'm like, or do you think this is like some attempt at some interesting storyline?
Right.
And I'm thinking, but it wasn't until the statement, I was like, oh no, it's real. Like she said, once the Tark was on their back, once he was like, put the bullseye, it's like, just go right here, aim for the neck. Once Vince basically did that in written form, I was like, okay, this is unfortunately real. It's just, like I said, it's a long time coming because of all the things. Like, I'm not gonna lie, Matt, I'm still not over WrestleMania 32. Like, where Sasha should have won. Okay.
Never.
How you gonna bring out Snoop Dogg? You're gonna have a whole entrance like, okay, this is gonna set it up so Charlotte can win. You know, I'm still not over the first women's Hell in a Cell in her hometown and loses to Charlotte with like that. Cause you know, because my thing is I would always say tomorrow, I'm like, let's flip it, because he would never do this to Charlotte.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Charlotte is like we've said, she's like the Triple H of the women's locker room. Like, so there's a lot. Like we said, the WrestleMania 35 thing, just the whole, like, I don't even know how that rumor got started about her and Bayley crying on the side of like that. But the fact that that was not deflected by WWE, that wasn't squashed by WWE, they just let that happen. Just like, okay, we're gonna give you guys these titles.
Yeah,
you guys, and okay, we're like, we want to legitimize these titles. Like, well, we're gonna give them to the Iconics. Oh, so I can understand someone, the other argument, like the Iconics, where they were a popular tag team, not a popular team, but they were an entertaining tag team. But it was like, you didn't even do anything with them. So you took the off them for no reason.
For no reason.
Even to go back to WrestleMania 32, you kept her off TV for months for no reason. When we're getting Sasha pops when she's not there. Like, you have it in your face, Vince. When Trish Stratus was like, yo, I want to wrestle Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks was like, I want to wrestle Trish Stratus.
This is like Charlotte.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, are we watching the same program? Like, so yeah, this was like I will admit, like, of all things for her to leave, like, this may not have been like the best reason, but this was one of many reasons. Well,
yeah, and you have to, and that's the thing. Exactly, that's the point. Because the thing is, like, it's not. This doesn't exist in a vacuum at all.
Right.
It's not, and I don't even mean like in the broader context of like the Black people and Black women in jobs and in our world in general, because that's a bigger conversation. But the other piece of it is that there are so many different elements that Sasha and Naomi, we don't really know what they truly said in these conversations. And the thing is, regardless of what they said, there's so much that underlies it. Like, they, just because I don't explicitly say to you, here are the ways I feel disrespected, here's how, you know, you're making me uncomfortable, or how I feel like, you know, you're treating the blonde white lady better than you are these Black talent, incredibly talented, more talented Black women.
Like, yes.
It's like, just because it's not said and laid out doesn't mean it's not a factor. And so, you know, it could have been Vince McMahon bumping into Naomi in the hall and spilling a cup of coffee on her accidentally, and they walked out, and I would have been like, well, you know what? It sits on top of so much else that they did that it doesn't even matter. Like, the details of what happened this week don't even matter as much as the bigger picture. And I will say, one of the things that I've been so disappointed about in wrestling media, shout out to Sean Ross Sapp and Fightful, but I've been disappointed that race and this conversation about Blackness and Black womanhood in wrestling, or even just the idea that that might be a factor, it's not coming up for most of these white people and these non-Black podcasters and media people. And that's a problem, because it should be a conversation. Problem. Even if they don't know, they should be able to say, this might be a factor, and so we're going to treat this story with that in mind. And obviously, like, race is always going to be a factor in how we're treated, because like, anytime any of us walk into a room, that's the first thing people see. Anytime, like, it's always going to be a factor. There's implicit bias and explicit bias in all of this. And so Woo. Okay. I don't even know where we started.
No, you're right. Because, and it's also like, but between it's just a big old ball of misogynoir, because like the wrestling industry is inherently misogynistic when it comes to like, not the companies, the fan base, women, like women will get it 20 times harder than a man. Whenever we talked about this last week, like when CM Punk walked out, when Daniel Bryan, like, you know, well, he never walked out, but you know what I'm saying? Whenever they're seen to be wronged by the company, the fans take their sides. But the moment it's a woman slash especially a black woman who airs out any type of grievances, it's like, stay in your place. It's like, you're a diva.
Yeah.
All of a sudden people are defending, people who hate WWE as a corporation are defending WWE and targeting Sasha and Naomi and calling them all sorts of horrendous names. Like,
this is really their opportunity.
Sit and think that. Yes,
this
exactly.
is their opportunity. That's the thing. Yes. People look for these opportunities. We've talked about this on the show before.
Literally last week.
We've talked about this many times on the show before, but I know I've given the example of, like, you know, it's like the type of thing where, you know, you might go into a as a black person, you know, you might go into a store and you're like, you know, forget about just being followed, but you're like, why are these people being so rude to me? Or like, why are they treating me like I'm all these things that I'm not? And it's because I think, you know, if you give people like the smallest inch, like, we really need to be perfect. Black women really need to be perfect, or else there's going to be people who are targeting and attacking and saying, you're lazy, you're ratchet, you're unprofessional, you're this, you're that, and you're ghetto. It's like that is not even warranted. You just wanted to let your racism show.
Yes.
And it shows.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly that. So let's move on a little bit. So, of course, we got I would definitely say that Naomi and Sasha got a lot of, they did get a lot of props from some of their former coworkers and Shane, I think Shayna Baszler, who's currently employed. Did a little. It was a weird, cryptic tweet.
Don't have Vince coming. He like for now.
Yeah,
I was looking at that tweet, by the way, too.
Apparently,
what did she put? I don't know.
It was a verse of something. Yeah, I was like, sure. Everybody's like, yes, queen. I was like,
and his pictures of them doing like double team moves on her too.
On
and
her,
I was
yeah.
like, let me read this a few times.
She did that on purpose. She's like, I'm trying to keep my job, so I'm going to hit up the Riddler and Dr. Seuss to make sure nobody can tell what I'm talking about.
Could not tell it all.
Everyone's
but I was
happy.
Like, this seems like she's supporting.
Yeah.
And I thought
you could just posted the picture.
I thought the pictures were also apt too, because like you said, they're performing their tag team moves on her, which when they, you know, were thrust into that tag team in February, they literally worked on their tag team to be a effective tag team moves. They came up with a whole move set together to be a tag team, to, you know, push this tag team division. And, you know, you want them to not do that. What you wanted them to do is so stupid. But yeah, Shayna. I'm not reading that. But go.
You don't want to read that riddle?
You don't want to know. Nah.
Yeah, I think Mia Yim supported. I think I saw Dakota Kai, of course. There was a lot of support for her.
CM Punk, apparently.
CM Punk.
Actually, and I will say CM Punk, because I was like, wait, CM Punk, what did he say? And he was just dragging Matt Cardona, aka former Zack Ryder, who decided to make a joke out of it because he doesn't understand when to leave, stay out of it and mind his own business.
Especially since Matt Cardona was all up in arms when his wife Peyton got fired and was saying how she needed support, but all of a sudden he act like he don't know what it is to fight up against a large corporation. Man, go somewhere. But anyways, then we got an updated report the next day from Fightful about what other sources said were the true events of that night. So let's go ahead and pull that up and read this.
Okay, wait a minute. Mari, start reading it.
Oh, I was saying, did we take it down? Like, y'all better not read what happened.
I was like, this is, we don't have a producer in the studio. It's me.
Our
right
producer
now,
walked out.
Exactly. They put the European belt on Matt's desk.
You know what? Yeah, I'm like, I'm done.
This was actually, Mike Johnson, I think, at Fightful Wrestling said,
PW Insider. Right?
Oh, it's PW Insider?
Yeah, PW Insider.
Okay.
I don't know if this is, it's always interesting. Okay. So this,
it's PW Insider,
but you know, there's like another shout out to Fightful because they obviously have filled in a lot of gaps and info for different people. But yeah, this was posted by PW Insider.
Insider. Yeah. Mike Johnson.
On the 17th.
So on this Tuesday. So, this article goes to say, for those who have asked about the Raw walkout, one version of the story that has been floated by several PWInsider.com has spoken with is that originally conceived finish was that the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships would champions would face off during the main event of Raw in the six-pack challenge with Naomi beating Banks to end the match. So we heard kind of rumblings of this the Monday night. There's lots of like little rumblings of little things that we could never confirm. It was said that Naomi would beat Sasha, would pin Sasha. It was also said that Naomi would pin Nikki A.S.H. at some point. But this seems to kind of been what's been floated out, that Naomi was going to pin Sasha to end that match, which doesn't make sense. But anyways, PWInsider.com says that the original plan for Raw would have seen Banks and Naomi featured in two or three segments, building up the idea that they would be facing off in the six-pack challenge. Raw would have gone off the air with the pair celebrating that Naomi was going to face Belair at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. So it's kind of like you're teasing a breakup, basically.
That's what I figured. Mark. He loves doing that.
Stupid.
Yeah.
The conceived storyline idea was that Naomi would then go on to Hell in a Cell, lose to Bianca Belair. Ripped to that match. I would love to see that match, but not under these circumstances. There are some who believe that at this week's SmackDown, an angle would have been shot for Sasha to wrestle and lose to Ronda Rousey, likely at Hell in a Cell. Now, this was the point where I was like, oh, if anybody's uncomfortable with working with somebody, I would not begrudge Sasha for being uncomfortable to work with Ronda, especially since we all know Ronda gave Alexa at least 3 concussions. So, that's, look that up. That's true. I'm like, if there's anybody, I've been saying it all week on this last few weeks on this podcast, keep my faves away from Ronda, especially it just does not make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. I feel like it felt more like, okay, let's guarantee Ronda a good match.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what Sasha's used for now.
Exactly, but it doesn't make sense because you have Shotzi and Aaliyah right there who were battling, who are literally in a storyline to fight Ronda, and either one of them can lose to Ronda at Hell in a Cell, and it'd be completely fine. But like Kavon, they want a good match for Ronda because spoiler alert, they haven't gotten one since she came back.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
but holy like, crap. The thing is, like, you know, I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me why they would want Sasha Banks to lose to Ronda, just because, like, she's Sasha Banks. You could have if I wanted to get anyone over, man or woman or whoever, I would put them in with Sasha freaking Banks because she's a star. Now, it's a whole other conversation, the fact that they don't value her or Naomi enough to realize that that's just using them instead of using them how they should be used. But
yeah,
I mean, I get it, because we were talking about last week, Mari, about how, like, who's on SmackDown? Like, everyone's running away from SmackDown. And it's no wonder why. But yeah, I digress. Like, this is messy.
Yeah, come on.
I think my thing about it is that, because I was discussing this with Mari, is that the only reason, like, I would not want to see Sasha and Ronda, because I'm like, we've been there, done that, and it was on a grander stage at the Royal Rumble. Yeah. So I'm like, what could the stakes possibly be? I'm like, I'm like, we've seen this movie, and like, the fact that Sasha has a tag team belt, it's like, I'm pretty sure y'all are not going to have her be a double champion. I was like, I only want her to face Ronda if she was going to win. obviously, like, you know, the little bit of like, oh, that's because like that's my favorite female wrestler, but I'm like, make this different. How could you possibly make this different than the Rumble? I was like, the stakes are lower, the stage is lower.
Yeah.
Like, that's why, like Mari said, Rana has not had a good match since she's been back. That I did not like that Royal Rumble. I didn't watch the Elimination Chamber match, that tag team match. Oh my God, the WrestleMania match. It was Ronda versus Charlotte versus Charlotte's nipples. Who? And you know who lost? All of us. We all lost during that match. Like you said, Shotzi's there. There's other people there. Like, start new things. I actually thought the whole time, I thought, like, I'm right there with you, Mari. Like, I would love to see Bianca Belair versus Naomi. And that would have been like a nice, like, oh, wow, it's not these same three people you're pushing. Like, maybe because, like, let's not forget when Naomi was going against Charlotte in that pseudo feud when she was with Sonya Deville. People were cheering Naomi. Like, people were getting behind her. And I'm like, yo, people are getting over despite you, Vince. Why won't you just embrace it? Like,
that part.
Like, it's just so.
Because it's the black women. It's the black women who are like, and it's crazy because Bianca has had a meteoric rise and Vince has pushed her to the moon. But it's like, does he think there can only be one? You know, like, you have your two. You have her.
She's the Highlander.
And the tag team titles. And it's kind of, it's just kind of funny, not haha funny, but just ridiculous that, like, over on AEW, Jade has the TBS championship and they put her with Kiera Hogan and
Red Velvet
and giving the people what they wanted. Like, people barely whispered, like, we want these three black women to work together. And AEW, like, sure. Yeah. We have been talking about the Holy Trinity and Sasha, Naomi, and Bianca for like ever. How do you miss an opportunity to put them together, at least on screen? They don't even
not
like,
even want.
Not even once.
Just like, the visual. Really. Just that visual.
Just the six person tag match, even.
Yes. He has a quota, though. Let's not forget. Remember when the New Day, and I think it was Sasha, they all held their belts? It was like Black Hair Super Bowl.
And he was
And Vince got terrified and he took the belts off them like the next.
Every single one of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was like, yeah, we can't have this. The quota's two. Yeah.
We said all that to say, like, but with the Ronda thing, we said it last week. Shayna Baszler is right there. Natalya would be amazing.
And Natalya, those two.
Both of them. Mm-hmm. They work with her. Literally, they've trained her. So if if you want a decent match out of Ronda, that's a throwaway match. Because let's be real, this Sasha Ronda match would have been a throwaway match. It had no build, no feud. It would be just for Hell in a Cell is in 2 weeks. And Sasha was going to lose holding her belt. So then, as tag champions, they would have lost to both of their the women's champions, basically saying the tag belts, the tag champions are just not as good as the women's champions. And then they would have no feud going on. And it just doesn't make sense when you have Lacey Evans is right there. I understand she's just kind of debuting back. And they're, I don't even know, they're advertising her almost as a face, but apparently she's on the heel roster. Like, she could have been there to face Bianca, but I say all that to say they've already been teasing Asuka and Becky. So it makes you think, do they feel like they don't want to put down Asuka and Becky? Like, they don't want Asuka and Becky to do the job to Bianca. It may have been because even WWE sees Hell in a Cell as a throwaway pay-per-view. That's why that they're like, let's do throwaway feuds and then book for Money in the Bank later. You know, it just doesn't make sense. But anyways, let's keep going on this. Okay, so yes, Sasha Banks would wrestle and lose to Ronda Rousey. So the women's tag team champions would have effectively been used to put over the Raw and SmackDown women championship title holders, which also don't make sense because I hate it. Both technically Ronda is a face, Bianca is a face, Sasha and Naomi were faces. So you are going to have two
heatless matches. No heat on anything. Yeah. Just like, oh, we just happen to be inserted.
Bad creative. Mm-hmm. We are told that at some point during the day, likely after the initial concerns about creative were raised, there was an alternative idea that would have been Banks and Naomi have a short tag team match instead and be beat down after to set up a different program. One source cited their opponents would have been Nikki A.S.H. and Doudrop, but we have not 100% confirmed this. So this is what I heard. This is what some other sources had claimed as well. So, and this is what Jim Cornette had said in his on his podcast too. Sasha and Naomi came to the building. They were told about the six-pack challenge. They met with Vince, raised their concerns about the six-pack challenge. They were then told that, okay, we'll do alternate plans. They went and rehearsed having a actual tag match instead of the six-pack challenge. They had rehearsed having the tag match, either losing to Nikki and Doudrop to set up for a title shot at Hell in a Cell or something to that effect. And then after they had prepared that, right before they went on air, maybe around that 7:30 mark, they were told, nope, that's going to be scrapped. We're going back to the six pack challenge. And what it felt like is, from what it seems like to me, it felt like they tried to initially basically trap them into the creative that they had already said that they weren't comfortable with, that they had already gotten the go ahead to change. But then they were like, they're saying somebody said that they needed to lose their attitudes in the back, probably Leonidas. Yeah. They kept telling them that they needed to lose their attitudes and this is the direction we're going. This was our initial direction. This is where we're going to go with. But it seems like for those few hours in between, they basically kind of like try to placate them and be like, oh yeah, we'll change it. And they're like, cool. And they went that the rest of the day thinking that it was changed. And then right before they went on air, they're like, no, it's going back to the six pack challenge. They basically effectively tried to trap them because they had also advertised it. And they basically wanted to pressure them into the creative that they weren't comfortable with. And Jim Cornette goes about what happened backstage, like step by step. And he says, and after they had, talked to Leonidas or it was not resolved, that's when they put their belts down and left. They left shortly after the broadcast started. So was there a second page to that? I think there was a second page to this.
Let me see if there's a second page to this story. But you know, one thing I would say, oh my God, this is a long story. But the thing I would say too is like, there's so everyone, and this is a frustrating thing for me, is that everyone's so focused on let's break down the creative and how they were unhappy with the creative. But I mean, if I'm in their shoes and they're telling me that if I'm just receiving these microaggressions and not being listened to as it is, like they've put up with horrible creative in the past. Right. And so I just kind of feel like everyone's really in the weeds about the details of the story as opposed to like, they're being told they have attitudes. They're being told that they're ungrateful, that they're unprofessional. Mm-hmm. I'm walking out too. If you tell me those things in my job when I'm that good, you know?
Yeah.
But what are they?
I
can't believe this keeps going.
It keeps going. So it's reported here that they were told that shortly before Raw, Banks and Naomi were informed by WWE producer Molly Holly that WWE was going with the six pack challenge direction with Naomi going over. I think they tried to send Molly Holly out there to smooth that out.
By the way, the other thing I saw is that it was not, apparently it was it wasn't Molly Holly from what I heard, is that she was not the one who had to explain it to them, is because she was doing the other women's match on the show, so that I think was discounted.
I think she just broke the news to them. I don't think she had any actual stake in what was going on. It was kind of like,
I don't think that I don't think the Molly piece of it's confirmed, but like, I could also see a world where they just are like, Molly Holly, probably the nicest, like, you could imagine. And like, let's just throw her in there as a victim.
Molly Holly, who is still a virgin, went over to them.
So proper and just so innocent. Still,
she briskly walked to them.
So shortly after that, they informed John Laurinaitis that they were leaving. A PW insider is told that Vince McMahon was sitting at gorilla position and he was told about the talents leaving. Like, they did not tell him directly. He found out. And it said right after Raw went on air, they said the Becky Lynch Adam Pearce segment was pitched on the spot. They credit that Becky Lynch had the idea. And Vince McMahon ordered it to be shot. And then they They placed it in the show to start explaining the change to the by now announced Raw main event. The belief among some is that the creative issues was not with Banks losing to Naomi, but how the duo would have been portrayed over the next several weeks, especially after they had put so much time into building their team. Once Vince McMahon had issued an edict that they would be teaming and winning the women's tag titles at WrestleMania 38. And that after diving into building that team, they were going to wrestle each other and go off to put over other talents, leaving them exactly where, which apparently was the crux of the issue. The WWE plan looks to have been that the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship would have been downplayed until their next program after Hell in a Cell concluded. So that seems to be the biggest crux here.
But that's I disagree even with the idea that the crux of their issue is the creative not being good in this specific instance, because I mean, even just logically thinking about this year, if I'm Sasha, I'm probably more upset that my apparent Mania match with Charlotte was taken off the table because it looked like they were going in that direction before Rhonda was plugged in.
She mentioned her in that promo.
And then if I'm Naomi, I'm thinking I'm having a Mania match too to cap off this major feud with Sonya. That didn't happen. So I'm just like, yeah, I don't really believe that this specific instance is their issue. It's a lot building up as we've been talking about.
It's the straw that breaks the camel's back because Jim Cornette goes on to say that it was exactly that. Sasha and Naomi had different positions before they shook up the WrestleMania card. And because of that, they said, okay, well, you can go and be a tag team. Like you want to do tag team wrestling, right? Go and do tag team. They were like, yes, we can dive into this. They said, okay, we'll give you the belts too. And they were basically promised that when they became a team, that the tag titles, that they were going to be able to defend their tag titles, that they were going to make those titles mean something. So that's why they went into it with such vigor and they were so excited about it. But then, of course, a few weeks removed from WrestleMania, they're now being told, oh, hey, remember we told you were going to be able to like make the tag team belt a spotlight, how they were on both shows and all of that? No, for the next several weeks, we want to actually downplay the tag titles. We want you to lose and we want you to put over other people and we want you to deal with this. And also, we won't have any long-term booking for you afterwards.
See this through Sasha's point of view. This is WrestleMania. This is right before WrestleMania 35 all over again.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, we're going to give you these belts. It's like, okay, we want these belts to mean something. Yeah, we got you. This is a shame that a wrestler has to fight for a belt to mean something in your company.
Which is ridiculous.
And you know what?
She had a fight for the belts, period. Remember, her and Bailey were the ones who constantly asked for women's tag team belts before they were even introduced.
But I feel like the other piece of it too is like, yes, they have to push for what they want. But just imagine you're in a job and your boss is like, okay, here's what you're going to be doing. Like, here's the project you're working on. Here are your responsibilities. Oh, wait, let's switch that up. Let's keep switching it up and just keep changing it. And so you're like excited about the direction you're going in. You're getting invested. You're Sasha Banks even. And you know, Sasha is just so intense and really, really, I mean, this probably applies to Naomi, but I just think of how invested Sasha is and how much she's like, okay, this is it. I'm going to be the best at it. Well, that's hard to do when you're constantly being told, you know, in January, here's the direction we're going to be going in. And then in March, maybe it's like, okay, here's the direction we're going in. And then in May, it's like, oh, but no, we're going to go in this other direction. And it's like, what are our jobs? And why are you not communicating clearly with us when apparently you could have conversations with some of these men about, okay, here's what we're going to do to work your way to this big match, to Mania. And they don't get that same respect. They're not getting it.
And so before we respond to that, let's just take a quick break. And we'll be back.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, Matt, did you like that ad? That was a great ad, wasn't it?
I really appreciated that one. And by the way, let me just give some... Our ads are digitally inserted into the episodes. So, but I mentioned that because some people, I've seen some comments, not even for our podcast, but other Rob's podcast, where they're like, did you hear that ad about like certain kinds of pills and things?
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're getting that because those are tailored to you. So that was a good ad, but it was different for everyone, probably. Don't tell on yourself about what ads you're hearing, though, is my big advice. Great ad, though. It was great.
It was great having
sponsors and people.
So, all of this makes way more sense to me than what was initially stated. And I don't blame them because we've constantly heard Vince McMahon said, reach for that brass ring. We've heard how, Brock Lesnar had to wrestle him on a plane to get what he wanted. Like, we're constantly hearing all of these stories about how, like, Vince appreciates when the talent steps up. Like he appreciates when the talent talk, but it's getting clearer and clearer that it's like he appreciates it if it's a certain person or if it's a certain kind of wrestler. If it's like you know, that's what it's coming down to. So before we I guess not really wrap this subject up.
Well, yeah. And I would just like comment on even what you were saying, though, is like that's the other problem that I have with this situation is that, you know, we're OK with Naomi. We want Naomi to glow. We want her to be amazing. We want Sasha to be the boss. We want her to and we want them to like own it and to have it and grab it and grab the brass ring until they do it in a way that we don't like. And then you're wrong. Yes. So it's like this thing where you can't win because you really have to walk a tightrope that's impossible to walk because it's just subjective. Like, oh, I don't like that's not benefiting me or aligned with what I want you black woman to do. So I'm not happy about it. I'm going to drag you and bury you.
And I'm going to go out of my way and make efforts to bury you. That's what it's like. Yo, you're using your company to diminish your own talent. Like, why? It's
and their power and their power. And like, I wish that we had like merch sale numbers because they did pull all of their stuff from WWE shop, which I'm, you know, like, I wish we were able to point to the fact of how ridiculous it is, how they're treating them. But I digress. I don't want to hold Mari back from bringing us forward.
No, I was just going to say, we know that Sasha is one of the top merch sellers. Like, she's one of the top women's merch sellers. I think it's her and Alexa Bliss that are right up there.
Why doesn't Naomi, when she had the belt, why was there not a GLOW championship belt?
Exactly.
I've been saying that. I just needed to say that. I'm like, Vince, it's like things like that. It's like, yo, you say like, oh yeah, we want it to be a family show. Why won't you have a GLOW championship? Well, that's different.
It doesn't. But we can have a spinner belt for 10 years
and if you let them tell it, she glowed out that belt without telling them and almost got in trouble for it. Now, I think it was just a storyline for a Total Divas, but because you can't alter a belt without them knowing. There's no way. But anyways, so it's just been, it's been very annoying. It truly has been very annoying. But once that statement came out, I think a lot more people were like, yeah, this makes more sense to me than what they were originally, the narrative they were originally trying to push. Mm-hmm. Because that original narrative did not make any
anybody with a brain on the second.
Yeah. To anybody. Yeah. Anybody who wanted more answers, some more logical answers.
Yeah.
But so throughout the week, we've basically gotten silence from Sasha and Naomi. Come to find out, there are reports that their contracts might be coming up in the next few months anyways.
Yeah. I think Sasha's like 2 months. I think it's like 2 months. That. Hers is. Yeah. Like you said,
really?
I'm like, Holy,
that's what they said.
Shiz. Yeah.
They said 2 months for, was it 2 months? Like they, I don't know if we have the source for that top of mind, but, or mm-hmm. like pull up, but yeah, I think they said 2 months for both of them or something like that was the speculation.
And
so,
that maybe this was like leverage for the contract. I don't know. All I know is like, and a lot of people are like, well, what happens? Like Sasha's already, this was such a bad timing because directly the next day, I think it was on Tuesday, Sasha's appearance on Kevin Hart's internet YouTube show dropped, and his show Cold as Balls. And she was again trending for everything. And it just makes them look bad to like a lot of these casual audiences who are like, oh, she was cool on Cold as Balls. Let me go see. And then it's like, wait, what? What happened? You know, and it's just stupid. So, you know, she still has her open spot in the Star Wars universe. She's talked about wanting to act after this. I wish,
this is just a random plug. I just have to say it. Sasha, if you are listening, if I make it in Hollywood as a screenwriter, if a paid screenwriter, I have this script. I want you to play the lead. Best timing for that. I wish I was already in Hollywood. I'd like somebody when call her it. Right now. Yes. Thank you so much.
When
thank
you make so much, it. Matt.
When I make it. I would have like somebody call her agent right now. I'm like, well, in 3 months, Sasha, are you busy?
Which, and if you feel that way, I can't imagine there's not some other screenwriters that feel that way.
Oh my God.
So she's more than likely going to go to Hollywood. I think for Naomi's been putting off starting a family for years by trying to finally leave her mark in WWE. Like she's left her mark on, of course, a lot of us, but she definitely said she just wanted one more like really big storyline feud. And I think the Sonya Deville one was it. I thought it was a great feud and storyline. It was a horrendous blow off. The blow off was technically the Saudi Arabia match? Show. Yeah the Ronda match.
It got absorbed into another feud.
So yeah. That part truly sucks, but I think if it comes down to it, I think Naomi just stays home for a while. Maybe, you know, I don't know. I'm saying this like I know these people, but that could be the route that she goes to. Either way, if any of them were to, if James asked me the other day, if Sasha walked into AEW, what are you doing? I'm like,
I asked you that. Yeah.
I know what I'm doing. This is going to be an AEW Stan podcast, except we're not going to talk about most of the show. We'll just basically be a Sasha.
Tell me everybody would podcast. Not want to know that her promos for the next month alone. Like, even those AEW wrestlers will be eating popcorn. Like, what is she about to say? You know, what are they about to say? Gosh,
I cannot believe. Anyways,
we'll get there. We'll cross that bridge when we get there because we might. Oh God,
I don't even want to think about it. Like I can't. The amount of anxiety I had this whole week. I'm like my two favorite women's wrestlers are like not on TV now. Like my life is ruined, and I have to podcast about this.
Yeah,
I feel bad. I'm like, it's up to Bianca. She is the only thing I really care about as far as that division. I mean, nothing against Asuka, but I'm like, they definitely, if they didn't use Sasha and Naomi, right? They definitely. They do dirty by Asuka as well. That's not talked about enough.
Very, very much. Yeah.
So I'm like, Bianca, please, like, you know, it's all on your back now. And they're not going to say it's on your back. They're going to say it's on Charlotte's back. Even though Charlotte's getting married to someone, I'm like, oh my gosh, how is Charlotte doing this?
Yeah, but, indefinitely right now, too.
I need her to go away. I need her and Andrade, like, go on the illest of vacations. Go on the honeymoon. I'll fund it for you. Like, just stay there. Like,
stay gone.
Exactly.
Bailey hasn't come back yet. I wonder if that. I'm going to be real with you, and I'm breaking this to Matt right here now, too. I'm not watching none of WWE next week. It's not happening. I'm not engaging with it next week. We'll see what happens to the show.
I will say, by the way, I'll give a shout out. This week, I thought about it, and I was like, yeah, we don't need to ask questions. We don't need to ask people for questions, but I did get some messages from people about the situation, and I was messaging Alex, shout out to Alex, and I was like, honestly, we'll see what happens this, because this is kind of a big deal. It's kind of a
Rob, we're going to break our contract.
Oh, no. Mari, we're going to be here. We will have a show. We might be talking about, like, you know, Desperate Housewives or something like that.
But to go back to Bailey, I wonder how they're going to handle that. Because I mean, I'm pretty sure Vince called Bailey and Jimmy were like, yo, what's up with your girl? Like, you know, like, what's up? He wants to know the info, but yeah, can you imagine that?
Not even just the info. I wonder if they're going to rush Bailey back. Like, I want to see. I think they're going to see what the ratings do this week. I can't imagine they're not going to see what the ratings do this week, and then they're going to try and plan accordingly.
I mean, they're like, so obviously they're just like, let's throw everything on top of this. Let's give the Usos the undisputed tag championships and call them and say that they're, what is it, making history, and they're going to throw Bailey back in. They're just going to try to bury one. They buried Sasha and Naomi, but then bury the story with everything except, who knows, we might even see The Rock show up just to direct people's attention away. They'll be like, Rock, could you be here next week?
We need everybody to come back.
I hope he continues to pay them dust then. I hope he continues to be like, who, what, huh? Young Rock is premiering on NBC. Just out. So we're saying this because on SmackDown, it was announced that Sasha and Naomi have been suspended indefinitely.
Yeah.
Michael Cole had to give a promo to camera he clearly did not want to say. He said they had let us all down. Pat McAfee was sitting next to him trying to make faces. My God.
Pat McAfee was like, he injected himself with something and was like, just like, I'm going to be catatonic. I'm not going to look at nobody. I'm not going to say nothing. Like, yeah. Oh my God. Oh, poor Pat. Pat looked like he was held hostage.
Right. This is how you deliver news that you don't want to deliver. This is the difference between Corey Graves emphatically calling Sasha
unprofessional
and Michael Cole having to monotonously read out a statement that even he, the man who shouts boss time at the top of every
we were just shouting him out like a month ago because he was like, oh, Sasha and Naomi are making history in all of these ways. Like, that's been Michael Cole, and Black Wrestling Twitter has been a fan of that. I just felt like this was a hate crime, actually, against us. Like, this was painful. What did he say? Like, I don't even know if we have the transcript. We're all disappointed.
Yeah, I saw him saying they let us all down.
Us all down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really?
Before we kind of quickly get out of here, because Havon, can you talk about the biggest thing that people keep comparing this to is the Stone Cold Steve Austin walkout back in 2002. Can you enlighten us on what happened with that?
So in 2002, Stone Cold, obviously, he didn't like the direction of his character for like a long time, because obviously he was in that very transitional program with Jericho at No Way Out. Then he wasn't a fan of like going against Hogan because he thought there was going to be a styles clash. Then they're like, okay, you're going to be in a program with Scott Hall, which again, he was not a fan of. Then he lost the number one contenders match at Backlash. Well, by this point, he's in this pseudo, like, you know, like kind of like they're having this new Vince McMahon feud with him and Ric Flair. And eventually it was going to transition that they were possibly going to do the Four Horsemen again. And they were going to have it that Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, Arn Anderson, Ric Flair, they're all going to be like a stable again. Now, he did want that. Now, I will say this to the listeners. He did want to work with Eddie. It had not been done before, like as a like a main event type of feud. But eventually they were just like, well, hey, we're going to have it that Brock Lesnar, since he's on the way up, we're going to have him beat you in a King of the Ring qualifier match on Raw. And where Austin was coming from, he was like, why would you just give that away on free TV? He's like, that should be a big match. They're like, well, we're going to have Eddie cost you the fight. He's going to have you do blah, blah, blah. And he was like, no, I don't want to do that. And because like they were going back and forth and he was having frustrations with the creative, he just was like, he just no-showed. And he's done that. He had done that a time or two before. I want to say, did he do that the day after WrestleMania 18? Like, he has no showed like once before previously, like when he was like not feeling creative. And they did the, and then they had The Rock come out like the next week or that week. And then he did that infamous, you know, Austin can take his ball and go home. And, mm-hmm. you know, that was that, that's sort of that infamous thing. But yeah.
So how did that resolve? Did Stone Cold, was that his retirement?
He never came back. He didn't come back until 2003. And that was like, that was pretty much his exit.
Okay.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. when he came back. But yeah, he never had the, obviously, like, things had to be scrambled. Like, they had to turn Ric Flair face. He had to face Eddie Guerrero, King of the Ring. But yeah, that was how that fizzled out.
Yeah. And you know what? The other piece of this, thinking of Austin, is, and just different interviews that I've heard from him. And honestly, at this point, 20 years later, like, there are so many different interviews that mix. So I can't point to just one, but like the level to which he was in pain, the level to which mm-hmm. he was just going through it this whole time. And, you know, more recently, he probably talked about this a ton on the interview with Chris Jericho last year, I think that was. But basically, like, there's so much that these people go through. And one of the things that I just wanted to kind of bring from the Austin conversation into the Sasha and Naomi one is, like, these people are not only literally putting themselves at risk, like, in terms of the, oh, an accident could happen and you could break your neck or you could, anything could happen. Mm-hmm. But, like, literally, I don't want to know what brain scans of wrestlers look like. I don't want to, I mean, I like, that scares me. I think about it a good amount. They are harming themselves, and I would say they are shortening their lives every mm-hmm. single day that they're in the ring. And so regardless of what is quote unquote professional, regardless of what you think should happen, regardless of who could take their ball and go home and what, this is, yeah, we can't tell them that they need to stay and do their job because clearly something's not right and they're not being valued in a way that matters. But damn, thank you for that, like, overview of the Austin situation, because it does put into perspective how much leniency he had. And yes, he was Stone Cold Steve Austin at a time when they had a star at the top of the business, as opposed to now where it's like Roman could get injured and go away and
they, like, are the, so
it keeps going, it but, keeps but, going right
yeah. I think the only
but nobody's at that the, still nobody's at that
yeah
level.
No, they and I intentionally, they don't want anyone to be at that level,
yeah,
where it's like you're bigger than our company.
Such a weird business plan that this man has. Because yeah. I'm like you said, like, let's just say Roman Reigns, I don't know, he's trying to do a weird sex move with his wife and then he trips and he's like, okay. And he's like, all right, I can't come to work for 4 months. Now Vince is like, oh crap, who could have foreseen? I'm like, no, you dumbass. Like, we all saw it. Like you should have pushed somebody. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So on SmackDown, we also got Baron Corbin seemed to may have did a sneak diss on Sasha as well. That was just kind of like,
what happened?
It was like a sneak diss. Something about it seemed like he referenced what she had said on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast about eating steak and stuff when he was talking about Madcap Moss, but nobody cares. They announced that when they announced that Sasha and Naomi were suspended indefinitely, they also announced that they were stripped of the titles and that there would be a women's tag team championship tournament.
I called it the Nikki Ash and Doudrop tournament because I'm like, who else could win that? Like,
anyone else could win. There's no way. Like, I would not put money on that tournament for any teams because,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
spin a wheel and then you'll probably pick out the teams for this thing. It could be anybody.
It's not a tournament if there's only two teams. Like, I feel like a two? Tournament.
And even if he included the men in this tournament, there's still only, what, three teams? Like, this is,
that's real. That's real.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. What you're just going to have Shayna and Natalya versus Doudrop and Nikki. Like, what do you, there's not even that many. There's no teams down in NXT women for their tag titles because they broke up Indy and Persia. Like, Wendy Chu is now with Roxy, I guess, because Dakota's gone. Like,
they should have just said that Sasha and Bianca threw the titles in the trash and burned them, and then just get rid of them. Or who did I say?
Yeah, you said Bianca.
Oh, well, see, I confuse all of the black women.
Stop it.
But no, it's like they should have just said Sasha Naomi just like threw them in the trash. And honestly, Bianca should throw her title in the trash and burn it too, because this is all trash.
It's all garbage. Yes, it is. Yes. So that's it about the Naomi and Sasha. Anything else that anybody want to touch on? Matt, anything you think we may have missed?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much here, and I just think that I feel bad for everybody who is having the conversation. I go back to the conversation about professionalism, because I'll tell you, I was like, this week, because of this situation, I was like, oh, let me like dive into white supremacy culture a little bit more again, you know, brush up. I was like watching an academic YouTube like webinar that was hosted a few weeks ago that's like, here's how white supremacy culture shows up in like certain workplaces. And there's a lot. I'll just say that if you think that your idea of what professionalism and how people should show up and how people should act at work, or, you know, how they shouldn't act at work and how they should communicate is the right way to do it. Mm-hmm. There's not a right way to do it, but this culture has kind of helped us or shaped things in a way that's like, you're not allowed to display emotion. You're not allowed to talk back when you're critical of people in leadership. Well, then that's not okay to do that. And so there's a lot of stuff built in here that's really racially charged. And we've talked about it and touched on it, but like, this could be a 10-hour podcast conversation. Probably could probably get like a panel of experts and PhDs talking about this in an informed way. And I'm just glad we've had this conversation to touch on, at least start to touch on like the issues. We'll be talking about this more because and the story's not even over is the thing. So we'll be back talking about this more and more and more.
Just to piggyback off what you said. Yeah. It's that whole ideal that, okay, if you are submissive and subservient, that is how you show your loyalty. Mm-hmm. And it's like you guys said, they're ungrateful, and it's just like them in particular, they need to be happy that they get the opportunity to be here. It's like, why them in particular? You know what I'm saying?
You know what? Here's the one other thing I want to put out there, because Mari and I, you know, we talk about other reality shows. We talk about Survivor. And, you know, in the last couple of years, there's been the diversity initiative with CBS to bring in, just have more diversity on these shows. And that's not only on the shows, but behind the scenes. And thinking of WWE, Sean Ross Sapp and Fightful always post these lists of producers. And I wrote down the list and I'm seeing Michael Hayes, Molly Holly, Petey Williams, Adam Pierce, Sean Daivari and Arya Daivari, Abyss, Kenny Dykstra, Jamie Noble, Shane Helms, Tyson Kidd, Joe Hennig. I think I saw Jason Jordan there. The most melanin out of
I was
this
gonna
group.
Say,
and
I was,
it's like, if you
I was
have,
like, this is like, a terrible crayon box.
Exactly. And it's like, if you have that diversity in the room, you at least have people who will say, hey, maybe we shouldn't call these two black women unprofessional on TV. Like, maybe we'll be alienating our black fan base. If you have, so I just think WWE, number one, I don't know the demographics of their backstage area. I know that they don't have many people like us backstage, and I think they need to do better by actually having people backstage who could inform them to say, hey, maybe we should be listening to these black women, or even still, maybe we should not be burying these black women, not only because of what it's doing, but also just how it looks and where it's putting all of us as fans, because it is alienating us. And we're having conversations about, can we watch this show? Will we watch it? They don't want that. And if they want to avoid that, bring in people who actually could make sure that you're inclusive in the way that you do things. That's the one thing I wanted to mention.
One last thing to mention on the thing is, like, if you are listening, like Sasha, Naomi, Bianca, even though you're still there, we support you.
Exactly.
1,000. And we're not disappointed by you. We're so proud of you. And we're proud that you stand up. And actually, you know what? Like, that is so much in the legacy of black people. And we could talk about the civil rights era, but also just day-to-day things that we have this power of standing up and speaking up. And if people aren't okay with that, well, then maybe they don't know the history, because we've been doing that. We'll keep doing that. That's why we're freaking here. We're speaking up. Yeah. That's what it's about.
Exactly. Exactly that. So you guys both said it amazingly. But we have to go because we have an IG live we have to host soon. But other than that, we did get Stephanie McMahon is on a leave of absence. We don't know the story there. Like she said she's stepping back to be with her family. There were rumors about, well, is Triple H feeling not that well? But come to find out, he might have already been back in the office. Then there are reports that they may be getting a divorce because both of them have not been wearing their rings.
No comment. I was like, that's like,
we don't make me go to Connecticut and ask questions.
Honestly, my thing is like, if I'm in Stephanie's shoes with everything that's gone on with their family, like if he's going back to work, I think I want to spend more time with my kids at this point, or maybe like make sure that they feel okay. So I don't know. It's none of our business. Like
true, but I would love to. I'll go to that Thanksgiving.
I mean, I would love to know
what is going on in the McMahon household. Like,
yeah, it's getting interesting, and it's leading to like a lot of rumors. Just like, okay, Stephanie's taking a leave of absence. Triple H has been completely knocked down from his duties of like talent relations and NXT and stuff like
Still a big mistake.
So they're thinking like, will Nick Khan actually inherit this company? Once
I have heard that, and it's becoming more and more likely by the week.
And if that's the case, Nick Khan may be the only person I would say who is worse than Vince McMahon, because from what we understand, or at least what they're trying to let us believe, is he wants to be the big bad. He's the man who's cutting all these talents and stuff like that.
So we need to like lurk for that man's soul. Like that is the Tin Man. Like, right. Like I was, like you said, all those cuts, all that, that's all him.
That's all him from what we understand. So
dark times.
Looking weird, weird here. So
honestly though, it was looking weird 20 years ago.
It's been looking weird.
Yeah. Like honestly, but someday we might have to hit the eject button. We'll get there.
We all know. Last time Sasha walked, I walked as well. So we'll keep you guys posted on what we're going to be doing. Havon.
Sasha Stan podcast.
Tell the people where they can find you? Plug your plugs. If you have any plugs, plug them.
You guys can find me on Instagram as Black Bruce Wayne. Yes, that was available. I know. I got on the second day of Instagram. But yeah, that's Black Bruce Wayne. And then for my Twitter, it's Bitter Blurred on Twitter, which is amazing because like I've like kind of like found like some nice inner zen and some peace. So I'm not really that bitter anymore.
But irony.
Exactly. But that's where you guys can find me.
All right. Matt, where can the people find you?
I know, I'm like a deer in headlights. Like, where can the people find me? You know what? I'm here on the Wrestling Wrap Up. You could follow me, Matt Scott GW, for the different updates on the socials. And and you know, we'll be on, as Mari mentioned, on RHAP, Rob Has a Podcast Instagram. So you could check us out at Rahapgrams. Obviously, it will have happened by the time you hear this, but the recording should be there on the Instagram page. So watch whatever we had to say in the future and in the past also at the same time.
Right. All right. You can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. You can also find me. Atlanta is wrapping up this week. So me, Chappelle, and LaTanya will be wrapping up the season finale of Atlanta season 3. Whoa, boy, it's been a long season. That season finale was nuts. So go to post show recaps to either catch up on the Atlanta recaps or to listen to our season 3 finale. Also, every Tuesday, me and Sarah Carradine are bringing True Crime Tuesdays to RHAP with our podcast Crime Scene. You can follow Crime Scene on Twitter at Crime Scene RHAP. And that's Crime Scene, like SEEN. RHAP. You can also subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts at robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed. We took a break this week, but next week we have a doozy on Tuesday, a doozy. We reviewed Our Father, the Netflix documentary about a fertility doctor that used his own semen to inseminate his patients.
Oh, I heard about this.
And we had an amazing guest, Jason Reed. Hilarious. Oh. This episode, hilarious. If you have not listened to a single episode of Crime Scene, go listen to this one. Go watch Our Father on Netflix and then go listen to this episode because it was so fun to put together and it was a doozy. And that's what will be dropping on Tuesday. So of course you can always follow us on the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast on Twitter at Wrestling Rehab Up. You can use hashtag Wrestling Rehab Up to join the conversation. You can also, if you want, reach out to us and we'll get you into the Job Has a Squadcast Facebook group where, a lot of the RHAP former patrons or whatever, not former patrons. They didn't stop being patrons, but
wait a minute.
It was formerly just a patron only style group, but now we're just like letting everybody in, I guess.
We cover your costs. We cover your costs. Don't worry. It's all good. Yeah.
That's where we mine our questions. That's where we talk to all of the fans. So just let us know if you want us, to get you in there. But other than that, Havon, it was amazing having you. Like I said, such a close friend. And this is normally us. I'm amazed that we kept it this short, Havon. Like normally we're just talking like crazy.
No, I understand. Thank you guys so much for having me. No,
thank you so much for being on.
Yeah.
No, this really was an honor when you asked me. I was like, oh my God, it was really special. So I really do extend. Thank you so much, Matt, for having me on board. So yeah, big shout. This meant a lot.
If we continue, then hopefully
we'll be back. I'll be back next week.
Not if Vince is anything. Vince is gonna. That'd be funny. If Vince was a listener. He's like, what are these three ninjas? Where do they get off?
Just listen.
So Matt will be back next week. Until then, remember, wrestling is for everybody, but not all wrestling is for everyone. Bye.
And it's the truth.
Throw 'em up, lay it down, just like Matt Amari. Wrestling little half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving the Ferraris. And we coming every week, and it's feeling like a party. Pull a Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flex it in the air, huh? From the rings, and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw 'em up, lay it down, just like Matt Amari. Wrestling little half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving the Ferraris. And we coming every week, and it's feeling like a party.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.